Let us open in prayer, and then we will get into it. Father in heaven, thank you so much for how you love us. Thank you for the truth and wisdom and hope in your word. You are so loving. May we help others to come to know and love you too. Use today to help bring us a little bit closer to maturity in you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so everybody has a paper and some sort of writing utensil. Wonderful, very good. So yesterday, we spent a lot of time practicing together. We played the role of Columbo, Challenger, and Coach. That was kind of fun. At the end of class, we also got into some ways to address views with problems in them. And we spent most of the time talking about one type of problem, which Greg calls suicide. What does he mean when he says a view is suicidal? Yes?
It kind of self-implodes.
Yeah, it self-implodes. It contradicts itself. So one of the funny examples we gave is if you said, my brother is an only child. That view contradicts itself. Let me see. One of the other examples we gave, no, that one's not on there. I don't have all my examples in front of me. But there's lots of examples. The one we spent the most time on was a special one that we call practical suicide, which was around moral relativism. The thought that we shouldn't say anybody ever does anything wrong. What was the problem with that view?
They're saying that you're doing something wrong if you don't undo it.
Right. As soon as you say to somebody, hey, you shouldn't say anybody's wrong, you've just violated the view. So that one's not exactly logically self-destructive. But in order to promote it or say it, you have to violate it. So yeah, that's practical suicide. Great. Today, we are going to, before I do this and go on session 4, I'm going to talk about one thing related to session 3. Or at least before we get to the handouts of session 4. I changed my mind. Let's do session 4 first, okay? So, at the beginning of the week, Eric Barker held up these sheets on the Romans Road that he said he was giving the little children to learn. And I thought, oh, that's so cool, because session number 4, you'll see we're doing stuff with the Romans Road too. The Romans Road, I've given you a little summary of it on here. How many of you have heard of the Romans Road before? Okay. Those of you who have heard of it, give me a brief little idea what it is. How do you understand it?
It's a selection of verses that are taken out of Romans that clearly explain salvation.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. And that's a pretty good way to express it. On the paper here, I've given you kind of a summary of it too. So Romans as a whole, it goes into lots of detail explaining the gospel. That's kind of what the whole book is about. The gospel, our life in Christ. The Romans Road is like a couple key selections from Romans that summarize it. So think of it as a few verses picked out of the book that summarize it. And especially, they summarize what you need to believe, how to be saved. So they're specifically about how a person can be saved. The Romans Road is really useful for you to be able to show somebody from the Bible the key things that they need to believe and basically what they'll have to confess in order to be saved. So if you understand the Romans Road, that's really helpful for you when you come into situations like that, when someone asks you about it. Now, we're going to use Columbo with the Romans Road too, because you can ask questions that are answered by the verses in the Romans Road. If you ask questions, then people want the truth more. Hey, how do you know that you're a good person? Gee, I don't know. Hey, the Bible has this stand. Would you like to see what the Bible says? Ah, sure. Obviously, this won't happen every time, But if you know the truth, that will really help you when the situations arise. So here's what we're going to do with the Romans Road today. We are going to use questions. What's going to happen is I'm going to break you out into groups, and I'm going to assign each group one of these selections from the Romans Road. By the way, different people include more or fewer verses in the Romans Road, just depending on how short you want your summary to be. Okay? So I've got like 4 or 5 here. Some people do like 5 or 6. It just depends how short you want the summary to be. These include all the key points, though. So we're going to split it into 4 sections here. And the Romans Road, road, very nice. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I worked so long and hard on that. Here's what's going to happen. When I divide you into groups of about 3 or 4 people, as a group, you are going to work together and see if you can come up with what's the main point of this verse, what's the main thing it's telling us, what's the main lesson in the verse, okay? You're going to come up with the main point in the verse as a group together and write that down in the section here that says main lesson on whichever verse you're doing. I'll give you some time to do that. And then what we're going to do is I'll put you back in your groups, and you're going to come up with some sample questions you could ask a person that will make them be interested in the answer to the verse or that are answered by the verse together. We'll kind of explain that a little bit more as we get closer. What questions do you have before we begin? Yes?
Say, maybe could we do the first one together, the Romans 3:10?
Yes, we can do an example together. We'll work through it together.
Because there's 18 of them, so then each two groups can each do each of the remaining 3.
I'm not following you, Mom.
So there's we can do this one together, and then two groups can do this section, two groups can do this.
Okay, good, great. 6 groups. Perfect. Wonderful. Okay, so we're doing groups of we're doing 6 then. Where should I start this time? Let's start this one. You'll be 1 and we'll count up to 6. Yes.
1.
Great.
2. 3.
4. 5. 6.
1. 2. 3. 4. 5. 6. 7.
Nope, 1.
1. 2. 3. 4. 4. 5. 6.
Great. Okay, so remember your numbers. That's who you're going to be with. So here's the first one. Romans 3, verse 10, for example, and verse 23. Let's pull out our Bibles and turn to those verses together.
I'm already there.
Wonderful. Good job. We'll turn to the book of Romans and chapter 3. We'll start off with verse 10 and then verse 23. Now, can I have a volunteer to read for me verse 10? Great. And a volunteer to read verse 23? Wonderful. Cool.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
There's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, let's make sure everybody's turned there. Okay, good. Romans 3, perfect. And Ezra? Verse 23?
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Okay, so as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's just have some ideas. What might be the main lesson in these verses? Fish?
Convicting men of sin.
Something about convicting men of sin, okay?
Everyone is a sinner.
Everybody is a sinner, okay? Anybody want to add, adjust? God's the only righteous one? Uh-huh.
And then sin, if you sin, you deserve death.
If you sin, you deserve death.
Oh, no, wait, that's later. Never mind.
You're thinking ahead of the game.
Yep.
You know the other
My
verses. Yeah, we could summarize the main lesson here, just putting it in our own words. We could put it a few different ways. You could say, we're all fallen short of God's standard. We don't measure up to God's level of goodness. We all sin. We've all rebelled against God. Any of those could work. So you'd probably put something, let's say, we're all sinners and fall short of God's standard. You could write something like that down in the in the blank space there. My words are so good. By the way, at this point, I kind of want to say something. I saw this quote that was really good, how emphatically we need to proclaim the gospel. Because in the world today, in our society today, people are scared, addicted, lonely, suicidal, and hopeless. And we have the hope of the world inside us. That's God's spirit. That's eternal life. And the gospel, that message, is how we invite people in. So we want to get the truth out to people. And we can help ask them questions to make them curious about it. Okay, so let me make sure I've got it. I kind of scribbled this one down here. By God's standard, we're all guilty of sin and in need of salvation. You can put it in different words. That's totally okay. But now what I want us to do for the first one here is come up with some questions together. What are some questions that you could ask that are answered by these verses? Or what are some questions you could ask that might make someone interested in the lesson the verse gives about us being sinners, us not being as good as God? What are some examples of questions you could ask? Yes?
How do you reach God's standard?
How do you reach God's standard? Okay, that's a cool one.
Is anyone perfect?
Is anybody perfect? Yeah, that could work too.
Can you be as righteous as God?
Can you be as righteous as God? Yeah? Other ideas?
Have we all sinned?
Have we all sinned? Yeah. Those are great examples. You could ask somebody, hey, are you a good person? How good does someone have to be a good person? How good does someone have to be for God to consider them a good person? I was talking with Brian at lunch yesterday, and he reminded me of Ray Comfort. He kind of uses the law in this context too. Because most people, almost everybody will say, yes, I'm a good person. And you can go, oh, the Bible gives us details on God's standard to determine whether you're a good person or not. Would you like to see how you measure up? And most people think, yeah, I'm a good person. I want to see how I measure up. And the conversation will typically go something like this. Okay, how many lies have you told in your life? And most people will give quite a large number. It's a number more than zero. They say none, you can go, don't tell another lie now. Say, okay, what do we call somebody who lies? A liar. Okay, so by your own admission, you're a liar. Yes?
If you lie once, in the Bible it says you're a liar. Just if you lie once.
Yes, lying, no lies are acceptable to God. Okay, so that's one of the Ten Commandments. I think that one's number 8, no lying. He'll say, have you ever stolen anything, big or small? Most people will say, yeah, something small. Well, what do we call someone who steals?
A thief.
A thief. So if you steal, what does that make you?
A thief.
A thief. Okay, so by your own admission, you're a thief. Another of the Ten Commandments is not to commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, or if you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at somebody with lust? I have. Basically everybody over the age of 10, 12 probably has. So if you commit adultery, what does that make you?
Adulterous.
An adulterer, right. We could keep going on. Have you ever misused God's name? Most people will say, yeah, every time you stub your toe and you say, oh, Jesus Christ. When you misuse God's name, that's called blasphemy, okay? That's commandment number two. We just looked at a few of the Ten Commandments. Okay, what do you call someone who blasphemes?
Blasphemer.
A blasphemer. So if you blaspheme, what does that make you?
Blasphemer.
A blasphemer. So then you would say, okay, let's just stop here because we're not doing so good. We've looked at like four or five of the Ten Commandments, and by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, are you going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Guilty. Okay. So that's all from the first verse here. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boy, that's really bad news, isn't it? But we're just at the first verse in the Romans road here. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to put you guys into your groups for you to work on the other verses. You don't have to come up with all the questions that we came up with for this verse, okay? This was just an example. What I would like you to do, though, is summarize the main lesson in the verse. We'll pause, and then I'll give you more time in your groups. I want you to come up with two or three or four sample questions that might make someone interested in the answer to the verse, or they're about the lessons the verse teaches. What questions do you have before I split you into your groups? Okay, so I think we've got six groups. Group one and two, you're going to do Romans 6, verse 23. Groups 3 and 4, you're going to do Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And groups 5 and 6, you're going to do Romans 10, verse 13. So let's put our groups like this. Group 1, group 2, group 3, group 4, group 5, group 6. You can take your chairs with you if you like. All right, so first, just take a few minutes and summarize what's the main lesson in the verse that you're assigned.
This is great, yeah.
Okay, we've got some confusion. We're missing somebody in group five. One of you is supposed to be five. The group in the back.
Take up half the table. We'll hold the other five. No.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys like 2 minutes to come up with the main lesson. Go ahead, look at the verse, have someone in your group read it to you, and think together on the main lesson.
Punishment of sin is death.
Okay, so I'm going to write this. So that's essentially how you're saved, right? This is how you get saved. And so, as far as the main lesson to take away, yeah, just the.
Oh my God.
I'm tired.
Through his
free
gift, we can believe and have eternal life
with him. Yeah, I mean, that's how you're saved. And that's verse 9, and the verse 10 goes into just more detail regarding being saved. All this table is so mumbly.
Everybody at camp signed it.
Yeah.
Because
they'll play with.
All right, one more minute.
As far as sample questions, so let's say you're talking to someone and you've gone through, they're a sinner, and 6:23 is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So they're trying to, hopefully this whoever we're talking to would want to know what this gift is or how to get this gift. And so this is explaining how to get the gift of God.
Yes.
So you could ask questions like, do you?
All right, who needs more time to come up with the main lesson in the verse? Okay, 20 more seconds.
So, you know, questions that
write it down because I'm going to ask you to share.
How to be saved,
how do we
find out how to obtain this gift, right? Are you interested in getting this gift? Are you interested in getting saved?
But what's the main verse?
Okay, who still needs more time to come up with the main lesson in their verse or verses?
How do we
get
on punishment?
So what's for a question? So the main point is confess who what?
Okay.
Yeah, I think the hard thing about this is that you have to confess that you're wrong. And even though, like, you can read from the first verse.
All right, let's keep the ball rolling. So what I asked you to do was kind of summarize the main lesson in your passage in your own words. So here's what I'd like each group to do. Romans, when I come to you, I'll ask someone from your group to actually read the passage, and someone from your group to tell us what you wrote. In your own words, how would you summarize the main lesson from the verse or verses? So let's start with group one. Which one was group one? Were you guys group one? You're group one. Okay, group one. Would someone read Romans 6, verse 23?
So we just say death, the gift of God is eternal life. So group Christ Jesus, I wrote.
Okay. And how would you, what summary did your group come up with for that verse?
If you sin, your punishment is death because you sin. Even if it's one little lie, with God, your punishment is death.
Okay. All right, that's what you wrote. We'll hold that for now. Thank you very much. Sorry, I didn't cut you off, did I? Okay. Group two. You guys are group two.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're still Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did you guys write down for your summary?
Through our sin, we all merit death, but through God's grace, we receive life.
Okay. Through our sin, we receive death, they say, but through God's grace, we receive life. Thank you very much for your summary. I asked you guys to put it in your own words. Here's how I summarized this verse. I wrote, salvation is an undeserved gift. Because what we deserve is death. But what God gives us through Jesus Christ is not what we deserve. He gives us life. So you guys can put it in your own words. I'd like all the other groups to write down the main lesson in Romans 6:23 there. So you can use mine. You can use a version of one of theirs. You could put mine and say, you could try to squish mine with theirs and say, salvation's an undeserved gift through Jesus Christ. It's totally fine. We'll come back to questions later. All right, group three. You guys are Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Can I have someone from your group read those verses?
Sure. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved.
Okay. How did you guys summarize the main lesson there? What did you write down?
This verse is explaining how to get saved, or how someone can be saved through Jesus.
Okay, it's how someone will be saved through Jesus. That is the topic. I guess I'm hoping more for the lesson, which would be the details on how they're saved. But that's okay. We'll go with that for now. Group four. I can count, right? You guys are group four, right? What did you guys write down for your main lesson there?
The main lesson is to confess, and that's how you get saved, to confess that you are a sinner and deserve God's punishment.
Okay. Okay, she says the main lesson in the verse, I'm repeating it for the benefit of the recorder there to make sure it can actually hear. The main lesson of the verse is that to get saved, you confess your sin, believe Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him. Okay, here's how I summarize the main lesson in the verse there. It's not really short, but I wrote here, to receive salvation, you got to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead. So I'd like everybody else to write down a summary there of the main lesson. While you're writing down, I do want to say something. Confessing that Jesus is Lord doesn't just mean, okay, I recognize Jesus is God. No, no, no. If Jesus is your Lord, that means he's your master. He's the one you have a responsibility to follow. He's the one over you. He's the one who has a relationship with you, provides for you. He's your Lord. Therefore, when I did wrong, when I sinned, that's rebellion against him. And since he's my Lord, I need to repent and turn from that. So I recognize he's Lord. He's the one in charge. I shouldn't rebel against him. I shouldn't sin. And believe that God has raised him from the dead. So we've got to believe he died and rose again. That's very important. That's not negotiable. Okay. Wait a minute. I just had that group go. I didn't have the other group give your summary. Yeah, how did you guys summarize it?
We read Romans 10:13. It says, for
whoever... Wait. Sorry,
new group.
Sorry.
It's a new group.
Oh, okay. We did both groups for that. Okay, perfect.
Four.
Yes, okay. Great. Okay, just hold on one sec. Sorry.
You're okay.
Any questions so far on the main lesson in these verses? All right, we're going to keep going. Group 5. Yeah, that's what you are. Thank you. Go ahead. Read the verse for me now.
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how did you guys summarize the lesson for that?
That God is our Savior and we can call on him anytime.
God's our Savior. We can call on him anytime. Great. And what about group 6? What did you write down for the lesson for that?
That you can pray anytime through good times or bad times. He'll help you through it.
God will help you through good times or bad times. I appreciate that. Here's how I summarized it. I wrote, God saves all who call on him. This is especially in the context of salvation from sin. Anyone who confesses Christ as Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead, they'll be saved. No matter how bad you are or how good you thought you were. Okay, cool. So these are the main lessons in the verses. Now that you have the main lesson, I want you in your groups to take a few minutes, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes, to come up with some potential questions that you could ask a person that might make them interested in the main lessons in these verses. So you're going to stick with the same verse that you had before, the same one you were looking at, and in your group, I'm going to give you like 2 minutes. I want you to write down a couple questions you might ask someone that the verse answers, or that might make them interested in what the verse answers. Questions before I give you like 2 minutes. All right, go come up with your questions. If you already came up with a bunch of questions for your passage, then pick one of the other passages as a group together and come up with questions for that. One more minute.
Just kidding.
Oh, I wrote down the wrong one. Okay, sorry. How do you do
it? Oh, yeah, 10:13. You can do how do you call the name of the Lord?
It's fine.
We have, like, a question to receive salvation. So, how do we be saved? could we believe that I can't work?
Would you need to be saved? How do you miss it?
It's 10:13.
If you do, oh, were you writing down for Romans 10:9?
I actually don't think that it was for 10:13.
20 more seconds.
I don't think that's really.
Time goes by so fast. I think, who needs more time? All right, 15 more seconds to finish writing. Okay, so we did Romans 3, verse 10 and 23 together. I wrote down a whole bunch of sample questions. You don't have to read them all. It's okay.
You can't read them.
Yes, that's fine. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you could possibly ask somebody. You don't need to be able to read all the stuff on this slide. That's totally okay. If you really want to see it after class, I'll pull it up again. But let's ask the Romans 6:23 people. I think that's group 1 and 2. So let's do it backwards this time. Two, what were some questions you guys came up with for Romans 6:23?
How do you earn God's grace?
How do you earn God's grace?
We did three. We did one for Romans 10:13, but we did two for Romans 6:23.
Okay, let's just stick with Romans 6:23 for now.
Okay. Do you want us to do the other one too?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get out of the punishment of sin?
How do we get out of the punishment of sin? Yeah, that's interesting, because you can't earn grace. If you earn it, it's not grace. It's like earning a gift. So, trick question there. How do you get out of the punishment of sin? Okay, cool. Group one, what were some questions you guys wrote down for Romans 6:23? Did you get to write any down? Not quite. Here, I'll suggest some questions to you guys. And again, I want everybody to pick a couple of questions to write down. You could say, since God is just, what do you suppose is a just reward for those who've rebelled against him? If God is perfectly just to punish sin, do you think he might also be perfectly loving enough to give people a way to escape? How do you think he'd communicate that way of escape if he provided it? How about this one? Have you heard about how Jesus helps people who've committed moral crimes? Those are just ideas, okay? You obviously can come up with your own questions in the situation. We're just practicing and thinking through a little bit. All right, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let's do group 4 first. What questions did you write down?
We got 3, I think.
Okay.
One of them was, how do you get saved?
Okay, yeah.
How do you get right with God?
Okay.
And confess what?
Okay. What do you need to confess? And how do you get saved? How do you get right with God? Cool, okay. Group 3, what were some questions you wrote down for Romans 10, 9, and 10?
Basically the same as theirs. Are you interested in getting this free gift that we just talked about, the referencing back to Romans 6:23, or do you want to be saved?
Okay, yeah, sure. Those work too. Some other sample questions I wrote down, and again, I want everybody, these are your notes for the future, so write down a couple. You can use theirs or some I wrote. I wrote something like, hey, what do you know about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago? What would it mean for Jesus to become your Lord? What would need to change in your life? What are some things you should keep doing? Laura.
I was just going to mention that a lot of times to get conversation going, it's good if you ask a question that doesn't have a yes or no answer.
Uh-huh.
Make them explain a little bit more.
That's a really good point. Answers, questions that can be answered with one word are called closed questions, because they give one word answer and that's it, it's done. Questions that require a few words to answer or a sentence, those are open-ended questions, and those are much better for continued conversation. So an example of a closed-ended question, do you want this? Yes or no? An example of an open-ended question, what do you think about whatever?
Yes.
That takes more words to answer. All right, group six, what did you write down? Some questions for Romans 10, 13. How do you think you could be saved? Okay.
That's all we can think of.
All right, that's a start. Group five.
Can you save yourself?
Can you save yourself? Uh-huh. You wanted to add something?
So I'm just curious, what is the point of having Romans 10:13 in this specific, like in the Romans Road, considering it says basically the same thing as Romans 10:9 and 10?
Romans...
So
you go ahead.
Is there a different goal that it's going for, or is there a different, like, what in a real conversation, why would you bring up Romans 10:13 right after Romans 10:9 and 10?
Right. So Romans 10:9 and 10 kind of is more about I'm going to say how you get saved. The real benefit of Romans 10:13 is it shows no matter who you are, you can get saved. It's the extra assurance, all right, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, like God's salvation isn't just for people who are kind of good already, it's for absolutely everybody.
Right.
So some sample questions I wrote here, hey, have you called on Jesus and asked him to save you? Now that you know all this, when will you do it? Or how about this one? Now that you know all this, the stuff we've covered in the Romans Road so far, what's holding you back from calling on him today? Is whatever's holding you back worth more than your soul or worth more than right relationship with God? Whatever. Those are some sample questions, okay? I want you guys to get into the habit of asking questions to people, because when you ask questions, they engage more. And that paves the way for more conversation going, opens more opportunities to put in nuggets of truth. Okay. So, I have bad news for you guys. We're not going to fill out everything on our handouts. I know, you're all so sad. If you want, in the future, you can get the tactics book that I've been telling you about. If this is something that interests you, you can always go online and buy the book. I think this cost me like $8. And you can always use the handout, fill out stuff from the book itself, if that's the kind of thing that's interesting to you. So what we're going to do now is we are going to briefly talk about something I said we were going to do yesterday, how evil is evidence for God. Then I think we'll do maybe probably our conclusion after that. Okay, so everybody, you can come back to the middle of the room so you can see the TV again, if you like. So, yesterday I told you ideas can be suicidal in several ways. There's some that automatically contradict themselves. There's some that, as soon as you say it, you violate it. There's some that are, Greg calls them infanticide. That is, the idea assumes something that undermines the idea. It doesn't necessarily contradict itself, but it assumes something that totally disqualifies it. And a very, what Greg says, the strongest example in his opinion, is when people raise the problem of evil to try disprove God. This is especially infanticide if the person raising it is an atheist. So here's how he puts it. He says, the challenge might be, God can't exist because there's so much evil in the world. When we hear this challenge, it's important that we ask the person, what do you mean by evil? Now, what they'll want to do is give you examples of evil. They'll say, well, you know, rape's evil, murder's evil, stealing's evil, except when I do it. they won't joke like that. They'll want to give you examples, though. But that's not what we're interested in. We understand some examples of evil. What we want is what makes them intrinsically evil in the first place. Why would we call them evil instead of good? At its core, the existence of evil implies an objective moral standard of perfection, an objective standard for what's good and what's evil, and a standard of perfection that has been violated. C.S. Lewis, he put it this way. He used to be an atheist. He said, "My argument against God was that the universe seems so cruel and unjust. But how had I gotten the idea of just and unjust? A man doesn't call something crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. Only God can be the true standard of moral perfection." Why do we say that? Because if it's not God, well, it just has to be us. And if it's me who says what's right and what's wrong, then it's just my opinion. And if evil's just my opinion, that's like saying, well, I don't like Brussels sprouts, so Brussels sprouts are evil. I read a conversation about two Jews talking about this one time. I have it up here. You know, in World War II, Hitler killed 6 million Jews in the Holocaust, they call it. He killed 6 million innocent people. And this conversation, the two Jews were talking, and one of them said, if there's nothing in the universe that's higher than human beings, then what's morality? Well, it's just a matter of opinion. I like milk, you like meat. Hitler likes to kill people, I like to save them. Who's to say which is better? Do you begin to see the horror of this? If there's no master of the universe, then who's to say Hitler did anything wrong? If there is no God, then the people who murdered your wife and kids did nothing wrong. A morally perfect God is the only adequate standard for the system of scoring, if you will, that makes sense of the existence of evil to begin with. Since God must exist to make evil intelligible, evil can't be evidence against God. It's an example of infanticide. I think there was one more thing I wanted to say. Oh yeah, so the question here, just to clarify, isn't whether an atheist can be a good moral person. That's not what we're talking about. But whether he can make sense of morality in a universe without God. So a person could say, all right, fine, I don't believe there's real evil in the world. But if that's the case, then the argument against God from evil disappears. But most people will say, yeah, of course there's evil in the world. Our conscience tells us that. We know intrinsically there are things that are right, there's things that are wrong. And they're wrong no matter who does them. Torturing babies for fun is wrong in all circumstances, no matter who does it, right? There's obviously objective evil in the world. Objective good and evil. There's at least some of it. But it can't come from anywhere except God. It can't come from our genes. It can't come from anywhere else, because then it's just our opinion. Okay, what questions do you have about that before we wrap up here? All right. So we're going to skip to the very end. This is the section in your handout that's final reflections, right here at the end. Here we go. Wait a second. That's not the right spot. I jumped to the wrong spot. Let's try this again. There we go. Final reflections. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears it, it's his folly and shame. Ask questions to the people around you to understand what they're thinking so that you can answer them better. If they think this, and you say, well, that thing over there isn't true, that doesn't help them. You want to understand what they're thinking. Okay? That'll help you respond wisely. The military has a saying. They say, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. That's number one there in that section. I want to encourage you, think through these questions. Try them with people. You could even role play with other Christians. Thinking about this is great. I want to encourage you, you've got to know your Bible well enough to give an accurate answer for the faith that's in you. That's what 1 Peter 3:15 says. Be ready always to give an answer of the reason of the hope that's in you with gentleness and respect. We haven't talked a whole bunch about evidence for Christianity. That hasn't been the purpose of this class. The purpose of this class has been communication. A lot of other apologetics is about the solid evidence for our faith. You need to know some of that, but you definitely need to know the Bible enough to give a good answer. Like an answer to your own questions that you came up with a few minutes ago for the Romans Road. I encourage you to study the tactics, push yourself beyond your comfort zone. If you're really interested, there's a link to a whole bunch of resources and QR code I gave you in session one. Don't be discouraged by outward appearances. Remember, harvesting always comes after gardening. We need to plant some seed, water seed. The fruit will get grown later. Maybe it'll be someone else on our team who plucks the fruit in the harvest. That's okay. We're one team working under the Lord in the Lord's field. We plant and water. God gives the increase eventually. Your goal, as you recall, where did I put it? I have it here somewhere. Aha! Put a stone in someone's shoe. In conversations, give them something to think about that will help get them a little bit closer to the truth. Asking questions is a great way to do that. We are ambassadors for Christ. You want to live out the virtues of a good ambassador. That character aspect, walking a holy and righteous and loving and just life. Also asking good questions. You may recall at the end of session three, we had the Ambassador's Creed. That was a whole bunch of stuff about being a great ambassador together, or how to live out the virtues of a good ambassador. This is just kind of a summary. These are some helpful ideas here. Make sure you ask questions. I thought this quote was really good. I'll stop with this one before we do a couple closing questions. As ambassadors, we measure our legitimacy by faithfulness and obedience to Christ alone. He alone brings the increase. The most important gauge of our success isn't numbers, isn't impact. It's our faithfulness to the Savior. Okay, so in the last couple minutes, here's what I would like you to do. I might ask a couple people to share, but you're not going to have to share anything that you write down if you don't want to. I'd like you to take the next 2 or 3 or 4 minutes and write down your answers to the last 3 questions at the end of final reflections here. What's the most useful thing or two you've learned in the last 4 sessions? How have you been encouraged by this material? And how do you plan to use this material in the future? I'm going to give you a couple minutes now. I'd like you to write down the answers to that. Then I might ask a couple people to share. You won't have to share if you don't want to. be about 90 more seconds. Okay, who needs more time? Okay, I'll give you a few more seconds. Okay, those of you who are writing, you can keep writing, but I'd really like to hear from you guys. You know, I've done four sessions with you, we've spent 4 hours together, and I've gotten some, like, comments and feedback, and I've seen how you've been in class, but I'd like to hear from you guys. This is really useful and interesting to me, your answers to these three questions. So, question number one there, what's the most useful thing or two you've learned in these sessions? I'd like to hear from a couple of you. What would you say, or what did you write for this one?
How to have nice, not shouty about stuff conversations.
Thank you.
How to ask good questions.
How to ask good questions. Yeah, Columbo 1, 2, and 3. Okay.
That they don't want to be the only ones asking questions, but that we can also ask them questions.
Ah, yeah. We don't have to be just the answer people. We can ask questions to challengers too. Great. Okay, how to ask and answer questions from the Bible. Thank you. What about question number two here? I'd be curious to hear what a couple people wrote down. How have you been encouraged by this material?
I'm wanting to share the gospel with other people, but I did not entirely know how until these sessions. So this is very helpful.
Okay. Sessions have helped you with the desire you've had to share the gospel because you didn't know how, now you feel like you know how. Okay, cool.
Now I can answer the questions that I've asked myself.
Ah, you can answer questions you've asked yourself. Sorry, you wanted to add something?
Oh, I was saying, I think it takes a lot of, I'm encouraging, it takes a lot of pressure off of like needing the answer but just asking questions and finding out what people know. But I think it's really valuable having a way to make them think about things and kind of train it back to have them be the ones thinking.
All right, last one here, which is how do you plan to use this material in the future? What do people write down for this one? Yes?
Spread the gospel on Minecraft servers.
Ah, it's for the gospel on the Minecraft servers. Cool. Yeah, sure. Wherever you go, out into all the world, Jesus said. That's the Great Commission.
Spread the gospel.
Okay, spread the gospel. Yeah. All right, let's wrap up with this. One final reminder. What's our three Columbo questions? What's Columbo question one? What do you mean by that? What's Columbo question two?
Why do you believe that?
Why do you believe that? What makes you think that? How do you know that's true? I'd accept any of those versions. What's Columbo question three?
Have you considered
whatever topic relevant. Great. Okay, perfect. Thank you all very much for your time today. Let's close in prayer and we'll dismiss. Father in heaven, may we be bold and wise for you. Use our words and minds for yourself. May we be fully committed to you. Help us to help other people come to know your truth, to love you. And for people here who aren't saved, may they consider the Romans road and come to salvation. Use us to help other people do that too. We praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I think you've got a 10-minute break before John Lyman's class.
What do you mean by that?
10.
How? How did you come to that conclusion?
Because it's 10 minutes till it starts.
Have you considered